last year. So, okay, well, let me take off my glasses so I can see. All right, looks like we're close, huh? Okay. Well, straight up, I want to welcome everybody tonight to our town council meeting, our May 5th town council meeting of 2022. Oh, I wrote 2020 on there, you guys. Okay. We have Elizabeth and Steve on Zoom, Gladys, Jim, and myself here, so we have a quorum. And we'll begin by saying the Pledge of Allegiance, if everybody will stand and face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right, to begin with, I want to welcome Lexi as our new clerk.
She, yay.
Oh, yeah. I'd get up and dance if I wasn't so tired. Anyway, I am so glad to have her. We've been, this last week, we got a good start. There's a lot for her to learn, but she's quick, which I really appreciate. Anyway, so this following week, we're really going to dig in, and I'll explain the budget. She wasn't able to come this morning because she was working at school, but we'll get there slow but sure. Judy has, a couple of months ago, Judy expressed to me that she'd like to cut back and do a lot less, so I'm going to let Lexi start picking up all the financial stuff to begin with, and then we'll just keep writing down everything Judy has in her brain that she's been doing for 55 years. So she's a treasure, we love her, but I get the wanting to, you know, cut back. So anyway, I'm excited about that. And all right, fire ban. In talking with Jimmy and Corey, and with all the wind we have and we're continuing to get, we've decided to start the Boulder fire ban as of tomorrow. But I want your opinion on it. That's what we'd like to do. So if the council has any comment on that, Steve, Elizabeth, how do you feel about it?
I think it's important to start it early.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. Are there any other changes to it? Because I know this time, or at the end when we went off last time, the fire council, I thought they wanted to make some recommendations on making slight changes to make it based on some meeting that they went to. So I didn't know if we got any recommendations from them from last fall to now.
No, the only thing I recall that Judas sent out a letter, that one letter is to how to be safe burning, or what, you know, how to I think she sent that out about a month ago. Did you get that? Has it been about a month?
Yeah,
ago?
It was specific to the fire ban. There was one thing that I have to now try to remember, but it was some wording on the way it was worded for the open fire pit or an established fire pit or something, that they just wanted to clean up the language, and they were suggested to look into it and come and bring us a proposed new language. And I didn't know if that ever happened.
You know, the letter, even for Boulder Town that we got at Hills and Hollows, did basically say that about the fire pit. Yeah, that I recall. That's the way I remember what we, and then, no, I think that's the, I'll take a look and see, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. But I think that's really important. So, you know, but this is basically Boulder Town. So I don't, so far I don't. Jerry, you're there. Has the county done anything early with the fire ban?
No, not yet, but I'm sure they'll be addressing it soon through the fire officials.
Okay, very good. All right, well, if Gladys, you have any thought on that? Okay, then we will officially start the fire ban tomorrow in Boulder. We'll put out notices. I'll get them out to the stores. And we'll put it upon the post office and right here and where else. On pegboard, we'll put it out on pegboard.
And on the town website.
Yeah, the town website. Good. Okay. All right.
Do we have to pass that or like as an official motion or just what our discussion sufficient?
We'd be safe to do that. So let's.
I think last year we did it as a motion, was my memory, and we had to make a motion to let it to come off of it.
The fire ban tomorrow.
Okay, so put specific date, May.
May 6th, 2022.
And then are we picking an end date the way we did last time?
I don't suggest we do an end date until we actually see what's going on with our weather and
everything else. I know last time we just put one and then we ended up changing it twice. So,
well, maybe we'll just put till further notice. How's that?
TBA.
Okay.
So, Jimmy, did you just make that motion? I'll second it.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes.
Steve, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Okay. The motion is passed. Our fire ban starts tomorrow. All right, since Jerry's with us, I'm gonna make a motion to move him up next. I almost forgot that.
It's for the bird trail.
Oh, there it is right there. All right, so we're gonna move the bird trail up under the fire ban, okay? So that in case Jerry has to leave, we have that taken care of. So go ahead, Jimmy.
All right. So everybody that's drove past the bird trail or onto the bird trail from Highway 12 onto the bird trail itself has either tried to push off the road or cars parked in the middle of the road or whatever. And so right now, after the last month, I've had 3 different people tell me that they've almost got an accident either coming onto the bird trail or right there in front of my parents' house on the hill right there, coming down right there. It's a completely
blind
area. The right of way coming on to the bird trail from Highway 12 is a complete joke. Like anybody that's, like I said, you've been through there, you parked there, anything like that. So what I'm suggesting is we actually come through, as you can see on the screen share or the screen here, coming from the bottom of the screen is actually north. And so when you're coming up and around, the little squared area right there, right above where it says hashed area, the little squared area is actually the coffee shop. And inside those 2 little dots right above the coffee shop right there is the actual grill. So the hashed area right there, that is all UDOT's actual owned area. They own that whole entire section right there. So they actually own the section coming off of Highway 12 and the Bird Trail. So if we wanted to actually update that and get it to where it's an actual safe intersection to come in and out, we can go to UDOT. That's why I asked Jerry to be on here for the county. He told me that I had no clue about this until he told me the other day that any road that is inside our actual town is an actual town road. Until it actually leaves the town, then it becomes a county road. And so the actual bird trail itself coming all the way from the bird trail on Highway 12, going all the way down past Peter's house, down past where the county starts right down there, is actual all town road. which I did not know that. I thought that was all complete county. If it was a county road, I thought it was a county road. So am I correct, Jerry?
That's correct. That's my understanding of it. And you should receive dollars for that road, that amount of road, in your BNC road funds.
I do not think we do. We need to double check. I don't ever remember it being on.
If you're not, you should be.
Yeah.
Good deal.
And who do we check with on that? Do I check with?
So do we get paid for that, Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
You should be able to go through the state, but I'll get Dave Dodds tomorrow. And Dave and I and Jim, we could talk about it and get UDOT on the line also, maybe between the four of us. But anything, any road inside your city limits that you're maintaining or that you should be getting BNC road funds. I doubt that we get paid for that road. That's money that should come to you guys.
Right.
Okay, and I could be wrong. Maybe it's something that's been updated, but when I was over there, I don't think it was on.
Well, it won't hurt to find out for sure. Definitely. Will you keep us, let us know, Jerry, what you find out?
Okay, it's not going to change anything anyway, other than the fact that we need to get UDOT involved and probably your city engineers. We'll get Dave Dodds from the county and myself and Jim, and we'll get this worked out to try to make it a safe intersection.
So, but the funds, though, the state will know whether we're... Man, I was just looking at that today, too, with all that stuff I was doing. So, all right. I'll find out about those funds.
Elizabeth, Steve, do you have any questions on what I'm like? I'm looking to see if we can actually get a turning lane coming in off of Highway 12, coming up from the Big Canal Hill, coming into it. So you're coming from the southwest. Coming up Highway 12 off the turn right there. So there'd be a turn lane coming in off of Highway 12. And then I'd like to propose that we make it to where we actually get lines and make the road, the Burr Trail, actually wide enough and put lines in the middle of the road going from Highway 12 all the way down past Vivian's house to get all the traffic, all the people wanting to pass everybody right in the middle of the road right there, all of that completely out of Boulder. Because that whole entire area, especially just seeing it every single day when we're there or even driving around it, there's people parked in the middle of the road. There's people that want to be at the grill that are parked out there with motorhomes completely out in the middle of the road in front of the stop signs. That whole area right there just needs to be cleaned up so it's an actual safe entrance and exit for Highway 12 and the Burr Trail.
So does that go over to Kelly's building, that little...
It does. The little tiny buildings up there at the very top of the map right there, the two little tiny buildings, the first one with the little tiny building right there next to it, that is the actual old gas station. The other one is the house that nobody lives in.
Well, there's room there, that's for sure.
Right, is that whole entire... And this is actually from UDOT itself.
So... Is it, what engineers do we get hold of then, Jerry? You said the state engineers.
Or we can get a hold of Jones in the Mill. They've been doing a bunch of our stuff for all of our.
Well, we can do that too.
We're state licensed engineer.
To do that.
The first thing we can do is so that you don't have to pay out right up.
Well, that's true.
We can talk to Dave Dodds. And we'll get a hold of the UDOT's engineer or the person that's in charge of that. See, they ought to be very familiar with it. It hasn't been but, a year and a half since we put that turn lane in right there on that turn. Okay. So they ought to be very familiar with it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we'll make that our starting point. Go ahead.
At this stage, we're just proposing to gather more information from Dave Dodds and UDOT, and then we'll share all that information at the next meeting.
Correct. I just want to make sure it was an actual public knowledge of we do have a serious problem right there.
Yeah, and so we're just gathering information to see what our options are at this point.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea.
I don't think there's been one person that hasn't been affected by that hill at one time or another. Okay.
Jerry, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jerry.
You bet. Jim, call me tomorrow morning and we'll get things scheduled out.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone. I appreciate you giving me the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Just a little update on the lights in the town hall. Corey is going to get me a couple of more. The electrician that came in and replaced the two lights out front said that being that they were ballast lights, that really it would be smart to replace them all. And they could replace them with LED lights that would last a lot longer. Put them on a timer so that we don't have them on all night. And so the electrician that was here quoted him around $2,000, but I told him, being that it's over $1,000, we need to get a couple of more quotes. So he's checking on that for us. So we will have that by the next meeting, and hopefully we can make a motion and vote on that in June to get that going. While we still have some good funds to do that. All right. All right, Jim, fire marshal.
All right, Peter, you have a letter to read?
I can read it to you if you like.
Please.
Sit in a hot seat here. Okay, I understand there's some concern about how I, as the current fire marshal, have been interpreting the fire code. I put this document showing my philosophy and the policy that has been emerging since I became fire marshal. I cannot do my job without backing from the town, and especially the town council. If we differ too much on how to do it, then I cannot continue as fire marshal. My first priority has always been public safety. I felt that education about fire safety and about the situation in Boulder is more important than rigid code compliance. The person starting a project understands the issues, particularly those specific issues to Boulder, then they will want to get as close to the code requirements as they can practically get, and my job becomes easier. Anyone planning a project in Boulder needs to understand that the homeowner and resident is the first line of defense, and usually will mean the difference between a small incident and losing a structure. Another priority is to make sure the fire department will be unimpeded from doing its job if needed. Access to water is important, but road access to the property and any structures has been more of an issue as a practical matter. We have a great volunteer fire department crew right now. The Boulder's fire department will never match the response time of a professional urban department. A good road will shorten that response time and could potentially save a structure or prevent a wildfire. Boulder is a small, isolated, and widely dispersed community. The fire codes were designed for an urban density. Fortunately, the fire code provides some latitude to the fire code official. In the language of the IFC, the International Fire Code, the Boulder Fire Marshal's role is the fire code official. The Boulder ordinance uses the word feasible to apply to code deviations. The Utah State amendments to the fire code uses the word impractical. And the section quoted that I'm about to quote uses the phrase practical difficulties. And this is from the International Fire Code, Chapter 1, Part 2, Section 104.8. Where there are practical difficulties involved in carrying out the provisions of this code, the fire code official shall have the authority to grant modifications for individual cases, provided the fire code official shall first find that special individual reason that makes strict letter of this code impractical and the modification is in compliance with the intent and purpose of this code, and that such modification does not lessen health, life, and fire safety requirements. The details of action granting modifications shall be recorded and entered in the files of the Department of Fire Prevention. And here's I don't need to go through this, but I have an outline of basically the policies that I've come up with. And we can discuss that if you want to, but I don't think I need to read that.
No, you're good. Okay, so you are the fire person for Boulder, correct? Like, you sign off on everything for that. So if you are doing that, then you are supposed to be going by our ordinances or by fire code.
Right.
Okay. So according to our own ordinances for the subdivision, and this is why I called you that day, asking you if you actually have signed off on Anson Fogel's subdivision plot on there, is for this reason right here. With town council approval, which I already knew from the fact when I was looking at it, because for all of his fire protection, everything he has down there, it is not a legitimate fire protection. He doesn't have, you cannot use irrigation water to do it. He doesn't have the right Boulder Farmstead water for it. He doesn't have it. It is a subdivision. The second you try to subdivide any piece of property, you take a piece off of it, it is a subdivision. And right here under town council, under our own ordinance on page 20, town council may require on-site and off-site improvements, facilities, and amenities provided 100% by the applicant for subdivision approval and determined necessary by the town council to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of anticipated residents of this subdivision or the existing residents of the town, included but not limited to your whole entire list of stuff that you didn't want to go through on it, and 5, fire protection facilities, including fire hydrants and water storage facilities. If he is putting in a subdivision, there is no financial hardship for a subdivision. He is putting in a subdivision.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not, Peter. It's a subdivision. He's putting
not,
in.
It's not financial hardship. There's nowhere in there that says financial hardship. It says feasible.
Okay.
Is it feasible?
It is feasible. There's a main line going right across the front of his property that he's connected to. Hold on. And he's all, hold on, Peter.
No, you hold on.
No, Peter.
Okay.
We're going to have a fight.
No, we're not.
Hey, wait, Jimmy.
We're not.
Wait.
I am reading you the ordinances, Peter.
You're going to fight with me about this. I'm not going to do this job.
Okay.
I'm out.
I accept your resignation.
We got to have order, you guys.
I'm reading the ordinances to you.
You're not reading. You're actually arguing with me.
No, I'm not. I'm reading the ordinances.
You're talking about Anson's thing.
I am talking about it. That is the whole reason that why we are up here today. You want to keep passing off subdivisions without fire protection.
Okay, so
let Jimmy finish.
Can I respond? Just a brief comment. I'll be quiet.
All right.
Okay. It says the town council can approve or disapprove. I felt like he had adequate fire protection as fire marshal. You can decide otherwise.
And when I called you and told you he did not have it because he didn't have the water, he didn't have anything else, you still wanted to approve it after I told you he didn't have the appropriate fire protection. That is where we have this problem right now. I'm not arguing with you. I have the code and I have our ordinances to back it. You write a letter recommending that you say, yes, he has the thing. You turn it into the town council. According to this ordinance right here, you turn it into the town council. We tell you, yes, it's approved. No, it's approved. Or he has to do something else different to do it. That is the only 3 things that happened. I told you, no, it was not going to happen because he did not have the fire approval for it. He didn't have the code for it. And you flat out told me, I don't care. I'm still going to do it anyway. That is where my problem is, Peter. You are not going by the ordinances that we have or the fire code. You can make up your own thing saying, oh, well, it's not feasible. What subdivision is feasible for them to put in infrastructure? We're making Sean Owens right now wants to put in a huge subdivision back there. We're making him put in infrastructure for it.
He's putting in a road. I told him he had to put in a good road. I didn't tell him he had to put a fire.
He has to put fire infrastructure back there.
I don't think it's required.
Well,
it is required by international fire code.
And we need to stick to that code. And going forward, we've got to make sure people are protected in this town. That's our bottom line.
One thing I can tell you is that all that fire flow, that's the very last line of defense for a fire. If there's a fire, if a fire breaks out, it gets larger than
a Peter, it doesn't fire. Matter. It's code. We cannot start deviating from this right now, because that was the first thing that I was told is, well, you guys already set precedence with Daniel Kennedy have a subdivision in. That was the first thing I was told. I have not set precedence of anything. I am setting precedence right now of saying all fire code and all the national fire protections that will be followed. End of story to our own Fuller Town's ordinances. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. If the ordinance isn't there, or if somebody doesn't like it, then approach the town council for them to change the ordinance. This is how the ordinance is written. This is the way that the town council actually needs to abide by it. And if you're going to do the job, this is the way that you need to abide by it.
Well, if that's the way it has to be, then I can't do it, because it's infeasible for many, many people. Okay. If you're dividing a lot into two lots, say you're creating a subdivision in two lots, would you, and it was like a mile from a hydrant, would you be required to put
according
in
according to this? Yes.
See, I think I should read that more carefully, but
this is our ordinance, Peter. I know
there's more to it than that.
There's not. I went through this thing five times tonight. This, I'm telling you, if you don't have it in line, and if they don't have the full complete package, if they don't have the fire protection, they don't have everything like that, they're not allowed to be like, oh, just yep, you're allowed to do this.
There will be no small subdivisions in Boulder.
There's not. Again. That's not a small subdivision. That's a 5-acre subdivision. How is that a small subdivision?
It's four lots.
It's still 5-acre subdivision. It's not a small subdivision.
Okay, so let's.
It's a subdivision.
Gladys, do you have any?
Yes, I think this needs a lot of further discussion, because, and I'm not arguing one way or the other, but you can't tell me that even in Garfield County, everybody has that much fire protection. So my concern is, okay, so if you're in the city limits, this is what you got to have. What does the county do? You know, what are their restrictions? What are they requiring for fire protection? What are all rural areas doing? Because, you know, it's not practical if you're not hooked to a water system, you know.
So this is only for subdivision. So if somebody wants to go out and have a house clear out in the middle of nowhere, and they're drilling their own well, and they have their own stuff, this does not apply to any of that. If you are actually subdividing a piece of property and you actually plan on selling it for future use for somebody else to use, this is making you put in all infrastructure 100%. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. They're making you do it. So it's not buyer beware property. You can't be like, oh, well, we have 5 acres, but there's no fire protection. There's no anything here. That's why this ordinance was written, is for the fire code itself. There is no deviation from it for a subdivision. Whenever you have it, they have to put in the infrastructure coming into it for that subdivision. If it wasn't a subdivision, it wouldn't matter.
But anytime you sell a property, then it becomes a subdivision.
So no, if you create a new lot, yeah. then it becomes a subdivision.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have 40 acres and you break off 5 acres, that's a two-lot subdivision with 35 acres.
And 5 acres.
Yes. That's correct. And you have to have all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that is according to our ordinances that we have written right now. That is what we have right now as our ordinance. So I don't see the further research or anything else into it. This is what we are supposed to be doing. If we don't want to do this, then go to the town council, go to the planning commission, change the ordinance. But as this ordinance sits right now, that is why I'm telling you, this is what has to happen on it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts on it. If you don't like it, change the ordinance.
Well, that's what I think we need to look at. but then I want more. I want more conversation and I want more detail.
But I'm telling you, by state fire code and for Boulder Farmstead, if you don't, and you're using Boulder Farmstead, if you're using Boulder Farmstead for your protection for fire, you have to have a hydrant within 600 feet of your building.
Yes, and I definitely think that
for state fire code, there are the exceptions, like I quoted. There's, if it's impractical.
But he's making a subdivision. Impractical would be 5 miles out in the middle of nowhere, and you're just doing just your house.
I think the way to think about it is cost. So if you have a two lot subdivision, and it's the cost of land is $100,000 a lot, then how much do you have to, how much, where's the line you have to cross where it's impractical in money?
That's why it says right here, the person putting in the subdivision is responsible for all infrastructure putting it in. They're the ones, the lot, it doesn't matter lot.
I mean,
if the lot costs $100,000 or whatever, they're the ones subdividing the property, Peter.
Where do you draw the line at impractical? I mean, is it a mile? Is it 2 miles? Is it 3 miles?
They're doing the subdivision.
100,000 miles? I don't know.
Inside town limits. If you're inside town limits, you go by town code ordinance.
If you can't find a way, any exception in that, in the ordinance, which I'll
there should not be any exception for fire protection. Period.
Okay. Elizabeth, do you have input on this?
Gladys, did you finish before I start?
No, that's fine.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I think Peter made a recommendation. He didn't make an approval, at least as far as I was understanding. And and so if we want to discuss that we have a disagreement with a recommendation Peter makes, that's one issue. I think that what Gladys said is that a lot more information needs to be looked at all the different assets, and we need to make sure that we are paying attention to potential consequences that weren't intended, right? I think it, as far as I was understanding, there were, if there is a there has to be an opportunity, at least when I read the fire code, that the state says that there has to be some option for alternative fire protection. And it is questionable what is feasible. Like, does that need to be defined? Do we need to get it back to the planning commission? But also to be really aware that we're relying heavily on volunteers, and Peter's a volunteer position that's putting a lot in, and the role that he has as overseeing things and making recommendations for planning commission and up to town council. We need to be cautious of how we treat our volunteers, or we're just not going to have them. And, you know, I know one of the proposed options was to see if, as fire chief, Corey wanted to do it. But when you speak to him, he's not interested in taking on that responsibility. And so we do need someone to have that role, and we need to be cautious and recognize how we treat people. And it's okay to say, okay, well, we don't agree with that recommendation, and let's slow down and look at it and go that route. I had a couple other things, but I'm going to stop for now and see what other people have to say, and I'll talk again.
So on top of what you just said for the volunteer, that was my other thing on this, is this should not be an actual volunteer position. If you're signing your name to a document that you're held accountable for this position, you should be paid per inspection on this. This should not be a volunteer position. There's no way that I should say, and I've talked to Gladys about this, I talked to Judy about this, there's no way that, if you're, like I said, you're signing your name to something, you're held accountable for it, it should be an actual paid position, so you're an actual town employee of the thing. That way—
So then are we gonna do that for all of it? Because for when you get like a, when you have to do a building permit or do anything on your property, you have to get someone on town council to sign off on it, you have to get, I mean—
But the fire marshal actually paid his name, or the fire representative's actually putting his name on the thing saying, yes, I've actually signed off on this, saying everything is completed on this. They actually go out, do the inspection, kind of like our zoning administrator. They're supposed to be measuring the setbacks of everything, of the buildings, of the different roads, everything like that. They're supposed to be doing that. It's a paid position. They're putting their name on it to make sure that they're actually, it's a legit job. Like, you, make it a legit job so it's not a volunteer job. I don't agree with it being a volunteer job just for that right reason right there is your name, you are held responsible for this. If you sign off on it and it's not true or it's not doing, you are held responsible for it. You shouldn't be doing it for free.
Steve, have you got any comment on this?
Yeah, it seems that the ordinance, the town ordinance, is fairly clear. But, you know, Peter's raised a point about infeasibility. I think that needs to be reconciled and better defined. But in the end, the end of the day, you know, the safety of the people, the buildings has got to come first. So probably needs a little more discussion. And in the meantime, perhaps the town council should review the recommendations.
Okay. Elizabeth, you got anything else?
The only other thing that a couple people have commented to me privately, and I just want to bring it up and make sure, Jimmy, you're aware of it. But is there a conflict of interest that with your role in the water company with the situation currently? And if just merely just or simply just stating it so that way that it is known and on the record so we don't also potentially have any liability in the future?
No, there's no conflict of interest. I'm licensed by the state through our water system. So I'm going by state code and by state standards and by Boulder Farmstead's actual bylaws that our town council actually should be going by anyway also. They are the approval source of our culinary water. It's not just me. These are actually codes and ordinances that I'm actually going by and bylaws. It's not me making stuff up for my own personal agenda. I want to make sure this stuff gets taken care of because the stuff that's been going on that's been passed and subdivisions, places that get put passed with no fire protection. And that's not right. They all need fire protection. If we're actually looking for the growth of Boulder for the best of our ability, we can't just be like, well, no, it's going to cost them a little bit too much to put in infrastructure for this subdivision. It is their subdivision. They are the ones choosing to put in this subdivision. We're not making them put in the subdivision. They are choosing it. And by our ordinance, it says they're responsible for 100% of the infrastructure going in on a subdivision. It's not my fault or the town council's fault or the planning commission's fault if they're building a subdivision 2 miles off of somewhere else. What are they going to do for fire protection? The state's not going to give them any kind of insurance or anything else on there. They don't have fire protection unless they can actually come up with a 60,000-gallon tank and a big enough horsepower pump to actually fill the 60,000-gallon tank to supply it for an hour. That is fire code. It's not, I'm not doing anything that's not code or by bylaws or by our own ordinances.
Thanks.
The one thing I want to make sure is that from this point forward, that people are protected. And as tough as a decision as this is, my feeling is going forward, we've had fires lately. It's unreal. We just need to make sure that going forward that the people that are building subdivisions are protected the best way that we can as a town do it. And I believe that following the fire code is the way to go. And I know there will be financial hardship somewhere down the road. I do believe with Peter, I think there's a couple of things that we need to stipulate and make sure that is in our ordinances that, and Jimmy even mentioned a couple that we need to define to make sure that it's 101, simple to read and right to the point. Because a lot of times in ordinances, ifs, ands, or buts can make a difference. And so this is my proposal, that we extend this 1 month and give everybody the opportunity to check into whatever they want to check into. But the bottom line is we will not go against what the state has. We've already adopted that fire code and we need to stick with it. So that way people can look into things, they can check other towns and come back and have their say. But the long and short of this thing is that we protect the people in this town forward. And it's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be cheap. But if you're doing a subdivision, you can also help pass the cost onto those lots. That's what happened to us when we moved in here. We had to hook up to Boulder Farmstead. Carl Roundy shared half the cost, and we shared half the cost to get hooked up. So did I like it? No, I'd rather not put the money out. But the bottom line is, I'm glad that we did in the long run, especially now that I'm seeing everything that's going on. So that's where I stand as mayor. And I think it's really important that we protect this town. So I'm going to make a motion to table this for 1 month.
Judy, be
it will be settled. Go ahead.
Never mind. Sorry.
And in 1 month, we'll get this thing settled. That will give everybody a chance to look at whatever they want to. Gladys, you can, whatever your concerns are, okay? We will check into it. And in 1 month, we'll come back and we're going to get this thing settled because it's very, very important that we do. And all right.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I won't touch any subdivisions until this is all settled. But in the meantime, I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to have a fight with anybody. I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to have take crap from somebody for an opinion, for a difference of opinion. So I'm ready to quit anytime. And maybe Jimmy will be happy if I quit. But
no, Peter, I just want you to do your job.
Okay.
I think I'm doing my job.
All right. This okay. is go ahead.
Can I just ask a couple of questions? Because part of the problem is most places it's the town or the city that owns the water system. This is a little bit different. Okay, so when you guys put a fire hydrant in, is it the water company that pays for that, or is it the individual?
The individual puts it in. They pay for the whole entire infrastructure because Boulder Farmstead is a privately owned company. So Boulder Farmstead is actually the one actually doing it. Then everybody that owns a share of Boulder Farmstead would actually have to pay for that person upgrading to their system. So they put it in themselves. Once they put it in up to an engineered codes and standards of the thing, then Boulder Farmstead takes over the water, that whole entire main line, the fire hydrant, everything like that for all the maintenance, repairs, anything like that over that. So once they're putting it in, the person doing the subdivision itself puts in all infrastructure. Then after that, it's just like South Central. South Central takes over, you pay for everything. And then if something breaks, they come and fix your line all the way up to your house. If it's inside your house, you pay for it. Same way as Boulder Farmstead.
Okay. And when you originally put, like the new water system in, did you put fire hydrants ever so many miles or?
I can answer that if you like.
Okay.
When we designed our water system for here in town and the other places on there, every place we had a house, we put in a fire hydrant. There are people in this community that run wells that do not have fire hydrants on there. Everywhere we felt that there was population wise and within a certain limit in Boulder Farmstead, put fire hydrants in as part of their project.
Okay.
And any fire hydrants or anything else that comes in from, as far as any new subdivision or anything else, the key to this here, a lot of this here, is you're kind of getting a lot of it ahead on there. You need to be able to say, all right, what are you doing for your water for a subdivision on there? On there, Boulder Farmstead's application states that if you need to be within 30 feet of the main line, you'll have a hookup with him on there. He's subdividing this into three different lots down there. And if you're coming down, as soon as you come off of the road within 30 feet, you're in non-compliance with the water company, where you would need to install a main line with a fire hydrant at the end of it to be able to service the other lots on there. It's not a matter of picking on anybody or anything else. It's the way that the infrastructure set up. And you want connection from Boulder Farmstead, same as you guys.
Okay, yeah.
It ain't no different than what you paid $75,000 down there to put in the line on there. And the same thing, it's our water line now. We maintain it. You put the fire hydrant in. You paid for it all on there, and that's what it is. There's no should be no way that a developer comes in and charges the water company or any of its shareholders any cost for their development of it. And what it is that they're using Boulder Farmstead for their water connection on there, this is what's required. You put a main line in front of your property, 8-inch lateral onto the 6-inch main line to go to the fire hydrant. from the fire hydrant at the end of the line. Then he connect in, and that's it.
You know, okay.
I think there's a lot of confusion here to be taken care of. What it needs to be is you need to get back to what are you doing for the water source on there at the beginning. Without the water source, the rest of the fire hydrant protection stuff is kind of mute to me.
Okay, so does the water company require when they
require,
put a new line in, do they, you require them for fire hydrants?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Okay, so like when you do a hookup, you more or less
if,
for
a if we're coming into there, Buzz, if we're putting in a subdivision or anywhere else in there, something else, we make Daniel Kennedy put one fire hydrant in there.
Okay.
Because he backs out on the other ones out there. Because the town approved the dry lot subdivision down there with no fire protection in the back down there. And this is what they're going to end up with again if they're not careful. Andy Rice here, he's looking to put in a lot down below there. He's going to end up doing the same thing if he comes from the water company. With us, he's going to hook on the end of that main line, and he's going to upgrade that main line down to where he puts it in, where he needs to go, and there's going to be a fire hydrant at the end of that line.
Okay.
On there. Once that's done, then he'll have his water service from water farm system. It doesn't matter, you know, what's the difference between, you know, 1,500 feet with a hardship, or whatever you want to call it, put a main line in the back, or Andy here, have to put in 400, 500 feet of main line to get down where his house is. And he's not even in the subdivision. He's doing a 6-acre lot.
It is a subdivision. It's a two-lot subdivision.
It is a subdivision.
5.92. So it's subdivided off the other part.
Right.
Okay. So but he is putting the infrastructure in down to that lot.
Okay.
There's the difference.
Same as Sean and Josh on their subdivision down there. They're putting in infrastructure all the way down to cover all of their lots. It is a subdivision. It's under our ordinance.
When I looked at that, it was also just a 2-lot subdivision, and the lot
now it's an 8-lot subdivision.
Well, I haven't seen that. That's a new thing, so I don't know about that.
But a subdivision,
if it was eight lots, I would be requiring all of that.
That's what. But a subdivision is a subdivision. Once you're subdividing it, it's not unfeasible for him. The main line goes right down the highway, right down the Lower Boulder Road, right there. He's already connected to right there. He has to take it from right there and run it down his driveway to where he can cover those lots. That's all I was saying. That's the fire protection that is required by our fire code and by our ordinances.
So if he has to put the main line down there 1,000 feet, does he go 1,500 feet
it's,
down there?
It's about a mile to the back lot.
It's a mile?
It's about a mile, yeah.
Even more reason to have a fire hydrant halfway down there.
But isn't he only applying for the front 3 lots for this?
It's all 3 lots that are on. It's 1, 2, and 3.
See, he's never supplied water company anything for us to look at. That's what I say.
I don't think he's supplied anything to the town either.
See, so
this is all talk as far as I can tell.
No, but when you... Never mind.
All right.
Yeah, we're done.
So we're going to...
Can I... I have a couple of things. One, I know Judy was trying to make a motion, but I have a question about it. And I think it got lost because it never got seconded and we started a second discussion. But one, I also, Corey and Josh sent a letter to get read. And so at some point during this, before we close out of this topic, we should have that read for the public comment or public meeting record, public record. That's the word I was looking for. But then also, Judy, I had a question. You were trying to make a motion, but I know that you're saying that we, to delay it here. I guess I'm not totally sure, and I want some clarification on our role. I thought initially the decision was, are we replacing the fire marshal position with the fire chief? But if we're saying a month to decide, doesn't it not come back to us? Isn't this a decision that goes to the planning commission? Because we're not approving this. It's at their, they were received a recommendation from Peter as the fire marshal and showing that. And so what is it exactly that we're delaying for us to come back and have time to give more information and input to the planning commission? Or, cause at this, what is it that you're wanting, Jimmy?
Well, we want to make sure that, our fire marshal is up to speed and trained on the state fire code that was presented at the last town council meeting. so that going forward, he has all the information out of that code. We are the only one with a fire marshal.
And that's the other thing, is a fire marshal, that is the wrong term. A fire marshal term is inside a building up to 3 feet to 5 feet outside of a building. That is the only thing that a fire marshal, and that is the actual full legit term of that. They're only in charge of anything and inside of a building. So they can do sprinkler systems inside a building, stairways, make sure different things like that for businesses are all set. We need to actually change it from fire marshal to the Boulder Town Fire Authority if we're actually going to be serious about changing and making this an actual legit job on this. You can't use a term that's not there. Like, and we don't have a need of an actual fire marshal. We have the town fire authority.
Yeah, and so, and that, I mean, changing the name and doing all that and making sure that whoever's in that role and currently Peter has all that support and training. So correct. Is that what we're trying to do? Because then it also needs to get changed every time it appears in an ordinance.
We just need to change the ordinance on it, on the building in, or the building permits and everything like that. Wherever it says fire marshal, it needs to be changed to Boulder Town Fire Authority.
And that would be sending it to the Planning Commission and having them start correct. The process of changing those ordinances.
Yeah.
Since we've been letting all everybody else in the public talk, Peg has her hand up.
Yes, yeah, since the Planning Commission is meeting next week, is this something you want put on the agenda? Because, yeah, I mean, you look at the Boulder Town Code and primarily where it appears multiple instances of references to fire marshal's duties and responsibilities is in the subdivision preliminary approval process. So there's multiple references there regarding the title, but also very importantly, what the actual requirements of the job are and what the person's supposed to be looking at. So this is not like a 1 month easy fix, search and replace fire authority for fire marshal. It's gonna be much more involved in that and probably take a year to go through and change this at the rate that we're changing subdivision. I just want you to be aware of that. I can easily put it on the agenda to start the discussion. So
I'll put it on the agenda so we can actually, I'll make a motion to put it on the agenda. Do we need a motion to do it?
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
I'll second it.
Glad I second it. All in favor?
Glad. Will you repeat the motion just so I can hear it?
Make a motion that we need to put this on for the Planning Commission next week so they can start on this ASAP.
But specifically that you want them to change the title of the name or the job
title of the name.
I just don't know what we're putting the motion as.
The title of the name and
there's some wording.
There's wording in there that actually needs to be changed too that's not, that leaves a huge interpretation of a bunch of stuff. So the whole thing just needs to go back to the Planning Commission and then we can go over it at the Planning Commission meeting.
I'll put my hand down here, but I do think that I don't think it has to be part of your motion per se, but I do think that the Planning Commission will need much more direction than that to make a reasonable.
We'll get it.
Okay.
We'll have.
The town is muted, so we can't hear anything coming from the community room, meeting room. Oh.
How's that?
You're not anymore. So anything you all just said after Peg spoke, anybody?
We said we'll get the paperwork together because there's a bunch of stuff in here that actually needs to be looked at and then they can go over with the Planning Commission.
All right. Well, we really do need to update that. So what we probably need to do is go over it and approve it before we send it back to the Planning Commission so they have something to work with. So you and I'll have to sit down and put those few things together, bring it up next month And then the town council can go over the wording, make sure that we've got everything in there that we want to send back to the planning commission, and take it from there, okay? And as far as the fire authority, I don't know. We'll table it till June. Get our ducks in a row.
So are we sending it to the planning commission for them to start the process, or you're saying you want to come up with the initial wording and then send it to them?
Well, what we'll have to do is go through the ordinance to make sure what we're changing. I want you guys to, after Jimmy and I go through this thing with some of the wording that needs to be changed, we will change it, put it up on the board so that the town council has a chance to see what we want to change and add to it, if anything, and then we'll send it back to the planning commission. And we'll have to work on the wording with the fire marshal, and I'll get with Peg and see exactly, because they got their hands full right now, the planning commission does, but we've got to get it started. So, but we got to have something to send back to them. You know what we want. We just can't say, yeah, we need to change it and then send it back to make sure what we're doing. So we'll do that. As far as this thing with the fire authority, I'm going to make a motion we table that till June. And let's investigate. Let everybody take a peek at what they want to take a look at, and then we'll move forward from there.
Sounds good.
All right.
I second the motion.
Jimmy seconded the motion.
Before we do the call, can we also make sure we include Josh and
Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to read it? I don't have it on me. I didn't get a chance to print it. I got it like 20 minutes before I came.
You sent it to me, didn't you?
I think so.
Oh, I have to let you read it.
Or I think they...
Oh.
Do you have it, Elizabeth?
I can easily pull it up. Give me a moment. But do you want me to...
Yes, please, because I don't have it.
When you said you, I didn't know who you
were. We just barely got it, and I worked on the budget, so.
All right, let's see here. To Boulder Town Council from Boulder Fire Department Leadership, May 5th, 2022, subject fire marshal agenda item.
So weird.
Did someone need something? Okay. We are writing to express our support for the current fire marshal arrangement in Boulder Town. Boulder Town and the exact fire marshal arrangement are one jurisdiction of many within our overall fire service area, which functionally extends from Calf Creek to Salt Gulch to the draw to Peterson Pasture. If the current arrangement is going to be changed for any reason, we wholeheartedly believe that this should be done in planned close coordination with the Boulder Fire Department, as we are the only ones who know the capabilities of our equipment and volunteers, and intimately understand through experience what influences the outcomes of fires with the broad diversity of our service area. If there are current policy problems or deficiencies that the town believes need addressed, we are more than happy to engage in conversations with other similar jurisdictions and work with the fire marshal and other interested stakeholders in the community to develop a path forward that best suits both the current and future needs of the community we serve. Sincerely, Corey Johnson, Chief, Josh Ellis, Assistant Chief. And I apologize, I don't have much of a voice.
Sorry we made you do that. Okay,
no, that's all fine.
All right, so I'm going to make a motion that we table the fire marshal situation until June. And I'm going to ask everybody who wants to, that is interested in finding out or has questions about this, that they do their due diligence and do all the checking that they need to do. But please remember, it's about safety. It's about keeping this town safe. And going forward, I really believe we need to do that. So I make that motion.
I'll second it.
Gladys seconds it. All in favor, Elizabeth?
Aye. Elizabeth.
Steve?
Steve and my dogs, yes.
Gladys, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right. Next, the barbecue, the 4th of July barbecue. They've started already. Judy and Pam filled out the paperwork for the road, and now Jimmy has an idea for the 4th of July barbecue that he would like to share with the council to see.
What day are we going to do it?
It's the 2nd. It's the Saturday.
Saturday is the 2nd. Okay.
So I've had several people ask me if the town would actually take back over the barbecue instead of having individual businesses do it, because they felt that the individual businesses were just charging too much for families. It wasn't available for all the families. It's supposed to be a town event. And so I want to know what everybody else thinks. Do we want to go back to the town barbecue, where we actually do the barbecue, the town buys the food, we figure out a set price per person, per family? That's the way I've always thought that the town fire 4th of July should be. I didn't think it should be for businesses, even though I did participate last year, made money on the 4th of July. I will put that out there, but I'm saying it should be for the actual individuals of the town. It shouldn't be for the businesses to make money. And I've had several different people actually approach me on that, asking to please go back and see if we can actually change it to where the town council and the town is actually in charge of the 4th of July barbecue instead of the private businesses. So what do we think?
Gladys? If somebody's willing to do the work.
I'll barbecue. I've already told Josh, Jill, I'll help barbecue. I'll help set up stuff. Whatever it is, I don't have any problem with that. But I do believe that it is a town function. And
I agree there.
And we need to make it feasible for all families to come and be able to enjoy it, and not somebody make a giant profit off of the town's 4th of July celebration.
Well, I like the idea. How do you feel, Elizabeth?
Sorry, I was trying to unmute. I agree. I think that the town has funds and we should put them forth, and so that the burden isn't on individual community members.
Yes.
Steve?
I agree. It's a town thing, and it needs to be affordable, and it needs to be more inclusive.
Okay. Well, then we'll make a motion that the town take back the barbecue. We'll get together and decide. I don't know how much money the town puts forward, and then we'll have to decide what we charge the families, what's feasible.
I think maybe, Judy, did the town usually put $1,500 towards the barbecue? I can't remember.
How long ago was that? We could pull that up in the minutes and stuff and find out.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah. And then, just make it to where, I guarantee we could get some individuals to help.
For some reason, I was thinking this $1,500 for the meal and then something like $1,500 for the band. So we put out about $3,000, but I don't know whether that was in the dark ages or.
That's probably $3,000 for the band.
Yeah, those are pre-inflation numbers.
Yeah. What was that?
Those are pre-inflation numbers.
I like that better than dark ages. Thank you.
So then do we want to talk what we want to do about the 4th next month? Seems how it will be June.
Yeah.
Okay. That way we can do what we need to
do
for it.
If you're going to do anything about a band.
We need to do it ASAP.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. Just depends on what you want to do.
All right, Steve, you're in charge of the pavilion, so that means you're in charge of finding a band.
Okay. I'll accept any guidance, suggestions, and direction.
I'll help you out. We'll see what we can do.
Is it possible to keep working with the group that was organizing it in the past, the last couple of years? Because I know, like, for a few years, the Arts Council did the band, and then it got passed on the whatever that, what's the other organization? The Community Alliance. The Community Alliance. And
I tried getting a hold of Josh and Jill a couple different times to find out what they already had planned on it, and I never received a call or anything back from them.
I know that they've already. I know that they've had at least one planning meeting about it, and they've moved forward with some stuff. In the last couple of years, they've come and just asked for money, and so we should just make sure that we're coordinating and communicating and putting all the efforts towards one thing as opposed to opposing events.
I agree.
I know they're away now, but yeah, if we get a point person from town council to coordinate and reach out to somebody on BCA.
I was going to make the suggestion, Jimmy, you be in charge of contacting them and find out what they have planned. And
I can do that.
Because basically, we're just really interested in getting the barbecue back to the town doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The barbecue, and if we're doing a band or anything like that, then yeah, the town, but other than that, if they want to do like their slip and slides and their Orbeez and all that stuff, that's still awesome. They can do whatever they want to do. I just thought the food part, because it is for the town itself, I just wanted to make it affordable for families.
That's fine.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. All right. Short-term bedroom rentals. You want to take a drink of water first, Jim?
All right, short-term bedroom rentals. So the last planning commission meeting I attended, we had two people that asked for the short-term bedroom rentals. Why is it and how is it that we're actually can tell somebody what they can do inside their house? Like if they actually had a building on the outside that they built for a specific, like they're going to rent it out as an Airbnb or they're going to rent it out for whatever, then that's totally separate. But if somebody actually has a room inside their house, like Bryn and Donna both, and they're just trying to make a couple extra bucks on that, why is it that we're actually considering them for Airbnbs and four of them? If, like I said, they're not adding anything to it, the rooms are already in their house. I just don't understand how we're actually like telling, nope, you're not allowed to do this inside the house. That's like, that's all the whole weird aspect to me. So I wanted to bring it up and find out why we actually have that as an ordinance, or if it has, or if that is actually part of our ordinance where you're not allowed to have something in there unless you have the CUP. And if they do want to have the rental in there, make it a business, awesome. I think that they need to have a business license, apply through the town, get the business license. But I don't think if they're actually just renting out one room in their own house where they're staying, they should not be included into the Airbnb standards of renting out a whole entire house. There's a difficulty of the parking, different things like that, or the amount of traffic. If you have a short term, there's a heck of a lot less traffic in a short term than there is long-term rental. Long-term rental, you have somebody there every single day, two and three times in and out a day. Short-term, you have somebody there 2-3 days, and maybe you're going to have a week or maybe 2 days in between stuff, but they're not, it's not a full thing. So what I'm want to know is why we are actually limiting people. If they want to make money off of their own house, inside their own house and not in a building, why we're actually limiting that to them.
I have a comment on that too. On the IADUs, most of the time that is usually like a basement, or it's a longer term rental. And if we relook at this for us, like renting a bedroom, you're talking about probably at the most two people renting that bedroom and sharing your kitchen or your bathroom or whatever. But it could also help out with employees in town that come in for the summer and somebody's renting their bedroom out or a room out for the summer. They're here for whatever, the summer at the lodge or whatever. to me, that would help that situation out that we've had such a hard time with getting employees housing.
Yeah, so Jimmy, that's what I thought you were talking about is, when I was, guess I would term it long-term bedroom rental. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. The IADUs, yeah. And, you know, with, and to me, I don't see the traffic on this. I just think it would help out all the way around if we re-looked at that and gave it to the Planning Commission, see if we can't work something out to do something like that that doesn't fall under the jurisdiction of the, you know, one of the territories that the short-term rentals have. He mentioned that to me. I thought, wow, that could help the problem out that we have. So how do you feel about that, Elizabeth?
Well, I think it's just the way that what it's currently written in the ordinance, the short-term rental is says something in your home or an ADU, because the ADU and the short-term rental are two separate things. And so if you're suggesting that it just gets sent back to the Planning Commission for them to look at their short-term rental ordinance and have it changed, then that is a separate, but the way the ordinance currently is that it doesn't matter if it's a separate dwelling or inside your home. It's all one thing.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. We should take a look at it, because I don't think if it's inside somebody's own house and they're willing to rent out one bedroom inside their house, like, who are we to actually be like, no, you cannot do that, or you're going to be put on a waiting list for you to make, or for you to rent out, like if Bryn wanted to rent out for say a week for somebody to come down and help her pick onions or whatever it is, we're telling her that no, you're not allowed to do that because there's already four rentals in Lower Boulder. I mean, that's where it's, and it's inside, that's where I don't get it. It's inside somebody's house. Like, I don't think that we should have the jurisdiction.
And so if you're just saying, I have no problem with making a, I mean, having the Planning Commission re-look at it, if that's, you know, to the current ordinance, is that what you want to make as a motion?
Yep.
So what is your motion?
Make a motion to send it back so we can actually look at the in-house short-term bedroom rental to the Planning Commission.
And with the intention of separating it, so it's two different short-term rental agreements?
Yes.
So there's an ordinance. So there's one ordinance for one and one for another?
Yes, correct.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does it matter if it's one bedroom or two bedrooms, or what if they rented three bedrooms still inside their home? I understand the concept, but does the number of bedrooms make a difference? And how is short term defined?
Well, that's where, so there's my other question on this, because like, you have Blake's house down there that she charges by the month, by the room down there. And so, I mean, what is short-term rental and what is employee housing and what is it, where do you actually start to separate the difference between the thing on it?
May I say something, seeing as my name was brought up in this and I've read the ordinance a million times the last couple of months because I applied. Is that possible?
Yes, go ahead, Donna.
Yes, the way the ordinance reads right now, the Elizabeth was totally correct because she has an RSTR and hers is an outside building. I think that's fine, outside and inside. It doesn't really matter. I don't think saying inside a house is better, personally, because it's the same traffic. If you have one room, as Steve said, you're talking about one room and you're ADU in one room inside your house. The difference, according to the ordinance, is it's 1 to 29 days. Any rental that's done for less than 30 days is considered short term. And those that were on the Planning Commission at the time they wrote that ordinance decided they wanted to limit it. I have always said I thought the limitation was arbitrary, and putting zones in a place that isn't zoned was arbitrary. But they did say it was for the purpose of that ordinance only, and it was passed. So it is in the ordinance. So that's right there. Someone renting a room out for 30 days, they're allowed to do that without any permits at all. They could rent one, two, three, whatever they want. And that is the difference. And I would be opposed actually to separating them out and making one versus the other, but I would not be opposed to looking at the limitations. Thank you.
Just to clarify, Donna brought up the residential short-term CUP that I have. Mine is for in the home, not for a separate building at this point. It has the potential to be expanded to one or the other.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Maybe something, we just gotta be the planning commission that looks at it or changes it, right?
So I really think it kind of needs to be re-looked at. I think it would be a help for sure. But I really think it needs to be defined, because if we don't define it, then we're gonna get in trouble with people wanting to do, you know, with an open book type deal. So unfortunately, that's the way life is. So I think we need to send it back and have them take a look at that, because I kind of think that would help, but I do think it needs to be defined for sure. So what do you want to make a motion, Jimmy?
Well, like I was saying, I think we should make a motion to actually send it back to see if we should actually separate inside a house versus outside of a house.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do it. Because we do need it defined, and I really would like to, especially just like maybe a single room or two rooms, something that's simple that isn't going to have a lot of traffic, but that would help us out as far as housing. So what you got there? Who brought it up, Peg?
You'd have more traffic on a long-term rental than you would on a short-term rental, just like I said before, for the fact that somebody's actually living there.
Yeah, you're
they're
right.
They're in two, yeah, three times right. In a day. They're in and out every single day. The short-term rentals, you're there for maybe a week, week and a half. If that, then people are gone for 2 days, whatever. But the people who come in for short-term, they're there. They're here to stay. They're out going through, looking at different stuff throughout the whole entire area of Garfield County. So it's not traffic. Traffic's not going to be any different. And in fact, it would be actually less with a short-term than it would be with a long-term.
Judy, yes, I brought up, I think you had asked me, or you had asked me for a copy of this ordinance, so I wasn't sure if you wanted to bring it up and talk about the ordinance itself, but there are two different ordinances in the books right now. One specifically does deal with residential short-term rentals. Those are considered businesses, and that's why it's handled differently. There's another ordinance called the ADU ordinance that handles what would be long-term rentals of property for, and there is an indoor and an outdoor. Right now, the state mandates that anyone who lives in a residential area anywhere in the state is allowed an internal accessory dwelling unit. So that's state mandated right now, and we had to change our ordinance to reflect that. I think you recall last December. But this one is specifically dealing with people running a business in their home. So that's the residential short-term rental. And I'm certainly not going to go through this, but it's you can get online and search for this and read all the details. Donna was alluding to, well, Jimmy was alluding to what the Planning Commission had last wanted to add, which you guys tabled a year ago, which was, I'm not sure if the screen is caught up with where I am right now, but the maximum number, the Planning Commission last wanted to stipulate an actual hard number as opposed to a percentage of the population in those defined areas. So that was really the only suggested change that the Planning Commission was making to their ordinance that was passed in 2019 at this point. And that was tabled because you guys weren't sure about the hard number situation. But in terms of all the rest of this, the information about what is required if you're running a business and what you need to be able to produce and guarantee to your guests and so forth. Not everybody does VRBO or Airbnb. Some people just are on their own. So there's got to be some other mechanism to control those. I think that's what the Planning Commission was thinking. There's got to be some ordinance on the books in town to control those, in addition to or in complement with what those companies would otherwise require people to do. So that's hopefully some information for you.
Peg, if the state actually said that everybody's required was allowed an IADU, does that mean that us putting an actual number on the IADUs in a certain area, does that actually cutting off what the state's actually telling us to do?
No, again, these are two different things. An accessory dwelling unit is not necessarily for the purpose of a short-term rental. So
I'm saying the IADU.
An IADU is an internal accessory dwelling unit. So that's when you're getting into renting your renting a portion of your home to someone to live in or caretake or farmhand or whatever you're doing there. That's for the intention of a long-term rental. So a short-term rental is this thing I have up here right now, and that's a whole different matter. It may or may not involve, it may be a bedroom or it may be a separate dwelling, but it's for the purpose of the business of running a short-term rental business. So these are two different things. Your ADU may be used for short-term rental, or you may have an ADU that is strictly for your mother-in-law, right? So it's two different things. Did I cloud it up or did that answer?
Yeah. All right, let's read through that and talk about it a little bit more. See what we think. I just think that it might really help in the long run to be able to help some of our problems with employee housing. And it will, I mean, it's basically not all year, you know, the employee housing, a lot of it is just for the summer, for the season. So anyway, let's take a look at it again. And
we have a hand raised.
Oh, who's that?
Go ahead, Anson.
Oh, I just wanted to, I'll wait until you're done with this subject. I didn't comment publicly on the previous discussions about subdivisions and fire, and I would like to, but I'll wait until you're in between subjects.
Yeah, you can do that at the end in the public comments, and so we've already gone through that, okay?
Thank you.
At the end. All right, let's move on. We'll continue to take a look at that and discuss it amongst whoever. I think there might be some good stuff to come out of that myself. All right. The tentative budget. Oh my gosh. See how red my eyes are? We've had a big problem uploading stuff onto the computer, onto Polaris. There had been some things that were put in wrong. So all the way back to October, and in order to get state reports updated and outright, I sat with Polaris literally all day long today. And so I didn't honestly get to the part of the budget. We couldn't even do the budget till we got that part correct. So I did the best I could with this. We need to take a quick look at it. It's a tentative budget. We will schedule a public hearing next month and adopt a budget, whatever we decide tonight. So take a look at it. I'm sorry I couldn't get it out earlier. The problem was with the upload on the revenue. So unfortunately, you have to have revenue to spend money.
Sorry, one question on it. Resort taxes. How do we figure out if we're actually still legal for the per capita of people?
I'll have to call. Steve knew that. Do you, Gladys, do you know that
I don't exactly
percentage know what of what that. It is? Or I will call, listen, let me talk to, I'll call tomorrow and find that out. I actually really thought about that.
Because if we don't have the rooms and we're actually still collecting, it's an illegal tax for us to collect.
So let me check on that. Okay. Anything else on here that you want to... I kind of went a lot with what
Steve. Do you all have a budget you're looking at?
I'm sorry?
Are you looking at a budget now?
I sent you one.
I did not get one.
Really? Steve, did you get yours?
You're muted, Steve.
Okay, I am not sure.
When did you send it? I'll look now.
I send it probably about...
2 hours before the meeting?
About 3:30, 4 o'clock.
I didn't. I got at 3:15. I got something from Josh, and then I got an email just from you to me at, 5:40. But I have nothing in between that.
Let me run in there and send it to you. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
I want you guys to look through it and see what you think, and I'll put
up. Sorry. If Steve, if you haven't, you can forward it to me too, but I don't know if you have it.
I do have it.
Would you mind forwarding it to me and then Judy doesn't have to?
Already gone.
Peg, does Steve have the ability to share his screen?
Steve Johnson, you mean he wants?
Yes, could he share a screen with the budget?
Yes, we can allow him to share his screen. Let's see.
I also, when I get it, I can forward it to either Lexi, you, or Peg.
How do I get him? Elizabeth, can you tell me in a couple words how to, I can't see where I can allow him to share screen.
So usually next to the green share screen, there's like a little arrow to the right that's like a carrot looking thing. Right. You click that, you then can say, it gives you options and you can say allow multiple people to share.
It is set up as all participants. So Steve could share his screen if he brought the file up on his computer. Steve, do you know how to do that? Or Elizabeth, do you want to? Oh, you haven't got it yet.
I don't have it, or I would. Once I get it, I'm happy to share it.
Okay, yeah, because it was not sent to me. I didn't expect it to be sent to me. I don't have it.
Elizabeth, how do you do that?
So if you're on the bottom of your, I don't know where it is, wherever you have the like control icons to look at participants or chat, there's a green button. It's usually in a triangle that has an arrow pointing up and you click share, and then it gives you options. You can share your whole screen or a particular program. And then you share just that and whatever but to know before you share anything on your computer screen, we can see. So you should be prepared for that as well. In case you have anything embarrassing and personal, Steve, you can close the windows.
I don't think I do this.
I just like to, remind. I always remind the kids that, or, and in case their parents have personal things that they don't want us to see.
Full screen. Okay. Share screen. And then click on what I want to share.
Yeah, it usually gives you an option and like you highlight the thing and then at the bottom, there's another screen that you hit. Oh, it looks like it's working. We can see it, Steve.
All right. I've learned
congratulations.
Something.
Congratulations. On-site training.
Unless you're in the middle, where it's 90%.
No, I'm not.
Yes, yeah. This is only giving like. Steve shared his screen.
Okay, that's great. So,
Judy, did you send it to me?
I did. It did not come through?
No.
You have her blocked.
I've got everything else from you.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I sent it from the Boulder, Utah.
It's okay.
Sorry, dear. Okay, so I really did guess on some of this stuff, but the incoming we've had on the property taxes and the current property taxes, general sales tax, we were pretty close to that, I think. Like I said, today with uploading everything, I'll know more once I go back in October to make sure that Lexi and I will make sure that all the revenue is in the right place. But financially, we're in pretty good shape. So what we need to find out is if any of you, after looking at this, is there something that you see that you need changed? We remember last year, Steve, we were putting Corey's salaries in the wrong area, and we have since changed that, but I can't remember about how far back that was, and I didn't have time to change it, which could change a couple of the numbers up there as far as expenses being in the right place. So
what's our sanitation wages?
Well, I think that's actually Dean's, where Dean's goes, is under sanitation. We were talking about that today. And the planning commission pretty well has stayed the same. Peg, I'll have you take a look at this also. To see if there's something different that you want changed on the planning commission. But I kind of looked through the last few years and made my choices to what I budgeted in there. If you see anything that needs to be changed, Jimmy's is the only one the C roads, for some reason, it didn't print out that last page. But I actually was able to go in and at least print one page that kind of defined for him on the C roads so that he'd have something to go by.
Judy, what page of the budget are you on?
I'm on the second one. The revenue, revenue is pretty set for the most part. I mean, it varies a little bit with like landfill fees and the opening and closing of the cemetery. I got to talk to Gladys on that because I'm not quite sure. I budgeted in 900, but that money should be coming back. Don't we bill people once to open up? And I was talking to Judy, I haven't seen anything. So we'll look into that, the cemetery stuff. Because we've been paying $300 to have somebody open the grave. How did Farland used to do it? Did he just used to do it out of the goodness of his heart, or how did he work that?
Depended.
I'm sorry?
If it was, some people he charged, other people he didn't. You know, if his close family or friend, he didn't.
Okay. Well,
charge it, otherwise. We did. And I think part of the problem is we've had different mortuaries. It used to be Magalie all the time. And so they knew that we had a couple of different ones this time. And so I just assumed that they, charged the people. I'm sure that when I talked to the one who did Mrs. Cox's, that he was going to charge, but must not have
done. All right, we'll take a look and see. Because to me it should be kind of fair across the board, but we need to take a look at that. And, I mean, we can't be paying it out and not getting anything in,
Farland's was, they took care of it and handled it themselves.
Is that right?
Yes, and so some of them, that's the way they do it.
Okay, well, I guess that's something we really need to decide.
So if we pay somebody to actually open up the grave, then they're supposed to pay the town back, or the family?
The mortuary puts it on their bill.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what Magalie had always done, Like I say, we had a couple of different mortuaries.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not clear on that.
Yeah.
The last two, the town paid.
Mm-hmm.
$300 a piece.
Yeah. You paid Ronald and Ryder.
Right.
Yeah.
So now how are we going to do that?
Well, like I say, we just and usually the mortuary will contact me and find out,
Mm-hmm.
Mary already knew that, So she just told the mortuary, we will take care of that so you don't have to include it in there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll make a note on that and get that straightened out. And I, it's like if it was me and my husband passed and we buried him up there and had a backhoe. Right. Then Bill could, or my son could use the backhoe. And so we'll discuss that, make it fair, but make sure that the town just isn't paying for doing it, So, all right. Landfill fees, I just had to guess at that because I'm not sure how many people, go during the year. That could vary, but I don't see it varying a whole lot for revenue. And the cemetery, we'll get that straightened out. The interest, it varies. I used Steve's number. I thought it was kind of high, but I'm learning this, you guys. This is my first budget, so be patient. I guarantee you by the next one, I'll have it down. Anybody that any questions on the revenue? Okay. Let's go to the expenditures. I really did guess on that. I kind of took what Steve had. I noticed in 2022 was 35,608. So I just kind of stayed with that. I think I noticed on this 2020 column that you're looking at, that was, I believe, when Michela, when Judy did a lot of the manual, and then Michela took over and started putting it into the computer on Polaris. I think that's when that happened. And so I think that's why that is the way that it is. So I think we should just ignore that one, because I don't think that is totally accurate. Only because I think, and I didn't really have a good chance to look at it, but so I was kind of trying to look to see how things for expenditures, how things were. And then, you know, we got inflation we're looking at right now. So I tried to guess a little bit, hoping to fill in. I mean, financially, we really are in good shape, which is really nice. But on the other hand, you know, we don't want to overspend. We do have to get some money spent, though, so that's a good thing. Gladys wanted a gate. Corey wanted his little trailer to pull behind. Jimmy is talking, we're going to be dealing with this road. He was talking about if we had to put in our amount, we could use the C road money to help out on that. So so look through here and see if you see anything else or if you have any questions. The Planning Commission, Lee Nellis comes out of that. Legal counsel, that's pretty standard. Accounting and auditing, that's the auditor. Software, most of that stuff we just guessed at. And I noticed that in 2021 and this part of 2022, it was higher. Corey did mention something to me that I do want to let you know. He said that between the town lights and checking out the power bill, the propane is just for the firehouse. But I think we have a really high power bill, and I think we can get around that power bill some. So we could probably take that expense down. That's something I'm going to look into. Fire expenditures, pretty well everything that we have has been paid for. I'm just excited about that. So we do have the other 14 from ARPA coming in, hopefully July. So we'll decide as a council what we want to do with that money. Telephone, internet, that's basic stuff. You see anything different that you want to on your particular Gladys? You see anything you want to do?
Nope, not right now.
And you know, I think we're pretty good with the park, and I was trying to think of what we're doing, anything new that we'd want to do with the park, and we can move some money around. So salaries, you can see on the park maintenance salaries from 2022 to the actual, the budget. That's because Corey's salary will start coming out of the park maintenance salary. I build a little bit in for fuel for his wagon there. I see that it doesn't really show anything, and I'm wondering kind of how that comes in. We'll have to check. I don't know how they fuel. How does he fuel that? You know?
Okay, he fuels at Hall Store, but lots of times the bill is just, it doesn't separate it out. Judy kind of has to figure it out, and she doesn't always know, because whether it's the fire truck, whether it's the, you know what I mean? Because okay. At the store, they don't, you know what I mean?
So yeah. Do we need to start writing if it's fire truck? Do we need to write on the bill fire truck, or do we need to write on their lawnmower or whatever?
Well, usually you can kind of look at it and figure it out.
See how many gallons it is.
But yeah, but usually that's probably is a good.
Well, the only thing with the fire truck, we probably want to take that out of fire account.
And I think most times,
okay. Very good. All right. Well, if nobody has any questions, the only thing, we can switch money around. We're in pretty good shape. If you don't have any questions, or you don't want to add or whatever, then I do have something that I'm going to check into, and that's because of the revenue. Like I was telling you, I'm going to go back into October of and make sure that everything went into the right account on the revenue. So other than that, are we good?
Good.
Elizabeth, you got anything? Anything for...
No, I'd like to actually, I'll look at it later. And if I have any questions or stuff, I will ask at the next meeting or ask you individually. It was hard for me to follow what you were saying with what was on the screen and not having a copy myself right now.
But I apologize. But if you didn't get it again, then something's wrong.
I'll touch base with you and get a copy.
Yeah, I'll make sure you get a copy of it. All right, well, then this is the tentative budget. We will schedule a hearing, a public hearing next month, and put whatever changes in. If there's any change up here on top, I'll know more. I really am going to talk to Steve about it a little bit and see what areas that normally are tweaked. I really want to understand this budget thoroughly. So between now and the time that we adopt it, I'll make sure our ducks are all in a row. How's that? All right, we're going to move on then. Town insurance. I just kind of wanted to update you what we're doing. Lexi and I are going to fill out the form on the application on this coming week. We have asked Olympus for the information that we need from them, and we will also give Olympus a chance to, they already know that we're looking into Utah Trust. So I'm going to talk to the young man on Monday, and I'll let him know that, you know, they can also present us a package for insurance again. So I've made up my mind we're going to get not just cheap insurance, but Utah Trust said they could give us more coverage. So once they get it, we'll, and he's going to come in and talk to us also. So he'll probably be in the June meeting to talk about the insurance. And then the council will have a good idea of what he's presenting and on that. Any questions on the insurance? Emergency plan update. I just kind of had my feelers out. I haven't been able to do a whole lot, but I've talked with a couple of people. I talked with the bishop because he had some good ideas, and we didn't really get to have a long conversation. So the one thing I want to do is make sure that we've got people in different areas in the town and out of the town. I also talked to Breck and ran it by him. I wanted to know if he'd be willing to help us out there as far as contacting people if we had any kind of an emergency. And if we can just get started on it with phone numbers and an evacuation plan, I think that's a good start. So I was hoping to have more, but sorry, been busy. All right. Next, Wilson Road. All right, town right away. Talked with the attorney and he asked me to talk to him again, see if I could work something out. And the answer was no. So we're going to send a letter over to Candace and Corey and ask them to move. We're going to give them 2 weeks to move the pots and the rocks. And if it doesn't happen, then we'll have to move them. And in fact, if we get further problems, then we'll have to threaten them with revoking their license. And I hope it doesn't get to that. It breaks my heart to even think about it. But the bottom line is the pots and the rocks have to go. So I am going to put a letter together, and I'm not going to involve Lexi. I don't think that's fair. Judy and I'll put a letter together and we will send it out. So any discussion on that? Anybody have anything on that? I was on the phone with the attorney for quite a while and talking to him about it. And he said, of course, the best thing to do is to see if we can resolve it without having to go that route. So I did my best. So we'll move on with that. Department reports. Elizabeth, you got anything?
Sure. We'll start with Arts Council's got a lot of stuff going. They have right now in the gallery that through toil and labor, the forgotten history of the railroad workers, for those that are there. Can see it during the library. And I think that's the only thing they've got scheduled for the community in May. And then they had some stuff coming up in June that they'll announce. The library continues with the same hours that I reported last meeting. Let's see, Planning Commission, quite a bit happened last month and I got some updates from other people. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend that meeting and it seemed like a lot of things came out of it that we've been discussing tonight, but I have some notes I'm pulling up. So they continued discussions on the land use ordinances, the lot adjustments and the vested rights. It was a continuation discussion, but it didn't move as far forward as they intended because Lee Nellis was unable to attend due to personal reasons, even though he had originally planned. There was John Brandt set out a kind of a plan to have some of the ordinances looked at and a process in that, and it's going to go up to a public hearing before it gets sent on to the town council. There was a plot amendment, a boundary adjustment that was put forward by Hughes and Geerlings. There was Donna Owens, RSTR was approved and Bryn Brody was put on a waiting list because the four current spots were in the section Bryn was in and were full. I think that was a majority of a summary of what was happening in Planning Commission. I know that, Lisa Lena is on here, or in there in the person. So if I'm missing anything that I should be saying, Elena or Peg, please speak up. I'm supposed to report on Garfield County school districts. There was a county meeting that different representatives were invited throughout the county. It was brought up that Boulder didn't have anyone asked from our elected officials in the meeting, but the county commissioners were invited and I was invited and the superintendent as the two representatives for the school district. But it was a meeting to discuss health needs across the county. And there were surveys that were put out, and that was on Tuesday at in Tropic. And it was hosted by the health department, Southwest Health Department, and the Garfield Memorial Hospital. And so it was recommended that they ask more representation and equal representation other than myself. And Devaki Merch had went to the meeting. There was no other representation across the county except for Panguitch, but it was supposed to be a representation of different organizations that support the whole county. And it was a nice initial meeting. I did mention that I was also on town council and that either I could be their representative or the town council could nominate somebody in the future. But it sounds like they're going to continue working to see how better to serve the communities across the county. And that is all I have for department reports.
Okay, thank you. Steve.
No change in parks and buildings from last month, so we can move on.
Okay. Gladys?
I don't have anything specific to report. We're working on getting cemetery information all updated. As I know, the town building is fine.
Okay. Jimmy?
Still working with metal company of White's to come over. They're supposed to be coming over June or July to get the metal out of the dump. We had one fire, Wolf's, at 2:30 in the morning for the woodshed. And other than that, roads, the birch out, road grab ups, and nothing else.
Okay. The Garfield Planning Commission, they had some amendment changes. One was short-term ordinance amendment. They had a public hearing on that, and they were minor details, but because they changed them, they had to have the public hearing. We did a zone ordinance amendments public hearing also, and that was a small thing that they held it for. We had one short-term rental for Hatch that we approved. That conditional use permit for the semi-primitive campground that they had tabled, waiting on Southwest, required them, after they went out and took a look, required them to get a porta potty, and then their conditional use was permit was approved. And that was about it for the Planning Commission. And that's all basically I really have. I have been so busy just with Judy and training Lexi and reports and stuff that have had to go into the state. So we're getting there, believe it or not, it's coming. And now with Lexi on board, she is really good with that computer and getting her way around. In fact, I started telling her something and then I thought, do you already know this? And she goes, yeah. So that made me feel really good. I'm like, oh, right. Anyway, so things are going to start looking up in the clerk's office, and Judy's going to get a rest and not have to work so hard. She, a couple of months ago, she told me she'd like to cut back and do less. So we're going to make sure that that happens. And she's still working on licenses and stuff. So we'll keep her busy with that and keep her busy with some of the town stuff and as we get Lexi up to speed. But anyway, the minutes and both the minutes and the checks for April will come out next month. I was hoping to have them. I wanted this month to be all caught up, but next month will be all caught up. And I think that's that. So I think we're open for public comments.
Judy, can I do a clerk thing?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. And I didn't ask the clerks. Judy, have you got anything? I apologize. And Lexi just started. Okay, go for it, Peg. I'm sorry.
No problem. I just wanted to give heads up basically to the town council that the state does have a change in state code that I think went into effect probably as we speak. And it requires towns to enact an ordinance that governs electronic meetings. So this is not a planning commission thing. This is strictly going to be you guys, but you'd have to have a public hearing first as it's an ordinance addition. And I thought what I could do, John Barranth said that Kane County has got such an ordinance already on the books. And I went and looked at that and kind of seems like it achieves what needs to be done as far as state code is concerned. So I thought if that's okay with you, I can just run the Kane County's version by you to look at a model that we could just, you know, adopt as our own basically. And that's a way to...
That's a good idea.
But I just wanted to alert you that that does need to happen. It affects all the public bodies. So Board of Adjustment, Planning Commission, Town Council have to be governed by this ordinance on electronic meetings. It's a little bit more, it's a little bit more than what we do right now. So.
All right. So what are you going to do? Put it together and then we'll vote on it next week. And do we need to do?
I would do is probably the easiest thing is just to point you to where the Kane County ordinance is. You can actually search for that, but I'll make it easy. I'll send that link to each of you and you can look at that and just see what okay. it is. And then I guess we'd have to put our kind of our boilerplate Boulder Town, whereas, you know, maybe Mark McKiff can help actually draft such a thing to make it look like a Boulder ordinance. But that would become part of our codified ordinances you'd have to have the public hearing and then vote on it. So anyway, that's just information that I will send to you before next meeting. Okay. I just wanted to ask if you could send me the budget in whatever shape you want to send it to me that I can put on the website in preparation for your public hearing. And then finally, this is related to Planning Commission. I kind of already said, but I would really request that whatever you want the Planning Commission to look at again, they definitely are going to need more direction on what exactly you want them to look at. So just to be sure you've sent some kind of a memo to them via me that stipulates what part of what ordinances you want them to look at.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be at least a month because we've got to take a look at it and decide exactly the wording that we want before we send it back and present it to them. So,
okay. That's all I had.
But thank you. We will make sure that it's put together so that, you know, they understand. 101. Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else have public comments?
Yeah, this is Anson Fogel.
Okay.
I've listened very carefully to everything and I respect I know it's late, so I'll try to make it rapid. I want to say that I respect Jimmy's comments and his intentions with respect to safety and fire safety. Jimmy, I think your heart's in the right place. And I respect your position a great deal and your intent a great deal. I think I'm before I address my specific subdivision, because that's an issue for the town council, I feel as a member of the public that I want to make sure everybody that the council understands that requiring 6 or 8 inch full pressurized compliant fire hydrants for any and all subdivisions of any size is an unprecedented move. I'm not aware of any other municipality that requires that, especially in a rural area. And the one thing that I would submit is that the cost to install that is significant. For example, I priced it for me to put fire hydrants in and tie them into the main line is would cost me in excess of $100,000. And that's with me doing the excavation. It is a very, very, very expensive thing. If the town of Boulder were to acquire anybody subdividing even one lot off, irrespective of their distance from the main line, to put in a compliant pressurized fire hydrant connected to Boulder Farmstead, you would almost certainly get sued immediately. But more importantly, you would be requiring the only people that would ever subdivide even one lot would be people that are very wealthy. I am a middle-class guy. I'm not poor, but I can't afford a $100,000 fire hydrant. So I would submit to the council to understand the cost implications of requiring such a thing very, very carefully. It's a very different thing than running lines for domestic water. It's very, very, very expensive, which is why almost no municipalities require that level of infrastructure on the part of private developers. If they're large subdivisions, then I could certainly see that, because like you said, that you could amortize the cost because it's a for-profit development. I spoke with Jimmy and I understand the ordinances. I've read the ordinances ad nauseum. I've read the ordinances 500 times. And I spoke with Jimmy. I understand that Boulder Farmstead as a private entity does require, in order for me to get Boulder Farmstead water, it requires me to have a fire hydrant within 600 feet of the lot line. When I subdivide to give Nick that lot, we no longer satisfy that, which means that Boulder Farmstead could decide not to service us, which is unfortunate, but doesn't really kill us. We have a well already that's quite productive. So if Boulder Farmstead decides that they don't want to service us with water anymore, then we can accept that. That said, I scratched my head and listened to Jimmy and talked to Jimmy and heard what he said. And so we went to our attorneys in Moab, one of whom's the town attorney for Moab and understands rural property law pretty well. And I said, what does the law say, and what do the fire codes say, and what makes sense, and why is the town of Boulder and Jimmy saying this, but I don't see every other municipality in Utah requiring this. In fact, very few or none. So I would like to take a moment and I'll read it quickly. It's relatively short, but this is the response from the Sloan Law Firm, dated April 21st, 2022. And they did pretty extensive research on this, and this is their response. It's relatively short, bear with me. Applicable laws make clear that the fire authority for Boulder can approve a private fire suppression system that does not rely on street fire hydrants. Section 15.0413 of the Boulder Town Subdivision Ordinance provides that, quote, the town's fire authority shall review and make necessary recommendations as determined necessary by the fire authority for necessary fire protection and suppression services for the subject property, end quote. And the International Fire Code, IFC, as adopted by Utah Code, allows for private fire suppression systems, CEG 2018 IFC paragraph 5072.1, 5072.2. Here, the town fire marshal has deemed Fogel's proposed fire suppression system adequate, subject to certain recommendations, including that the building inspector approve and that Fogel create an entity to run with the property that can maintain the road leading to the three parcel. During the Planning Commission meeting on April 14th, 2022, a member suggested that the state of Utah, and in this case, that was Jimmy, suggested that the state of Utah requires that every new development have a fire hydrant within 600 feet of a dwelling or building. This is incorrect. Nothing in the International Fire Code, NFPA's Uniform Fire Code, Utah Fire Prevention and Safety Act, State Fire Code Act, Utah Administrative Code, or local law imposes such an impractical and costly limitation on residential development. While the IFC does provide potential methodologies for fire hydrant placement, it recognizes that, quote, every situation is unique, end quote, and that the hydrant spacing methodologies are, quote, not mandatory unless specifically referenced in the adopting ordinances, end quote. 2018 IFC at section XIX. Neither the Utah Court Code nor Boulder Ordinance have made any hydrant placement methodology mandatory. And as discussed, the IFC recognizes the validity of private fire suppression systems subject to local fire authority review and inspection. See e.g. 2018 IFC, and he quotes various things. Similarly, the NFPA does not contain any such mandate for residential development. In short, in our review, nothing in state law, fire code, or Boulder's ordinances prevent a private landowner from developing his or her own fire suppression system using his or her own water. Instead, state law and the ordinance require only that the fire authority review the fire protection and suppression services to determine whether they are adequate. I submitted a copy of that letter to the Planning Commission. I'm happy to send a letter to council should you guys desire. Third, I'd like to discuss and just make sure that the town council understands our intentions. I think there is a significant difference between people creating a for-profit subdivision as a developer and numerous people like myself and others recently in Boulder that are simply trying to carve off a lot for a family member or somebody else. Our intention is to create one additional lot to owner finance for cheap to Nick Vincent, who lives there full time. That is our only intention with respect to this. If we are required to put $100,000 fire protection system in, that simply isn't plausible. We won't be the last people that simply cannot afford that kind of safety requirement. To me, you can always make the argument that we should keep Boulder safer. Maybe we should have helicopters just in case something goes wrong and we need to fly to the hospital because it's 2 hours away. Helicopters are only a couple million bucks a piece. My point is that there is an extent to which the requirement becomes impractical. And Pete understands that. I do understand and agree, Jimmy, with your concerns that the requirements could be better worded. Pete did ask that we prepare a fire protection plan. I know that Daniel Kennedy was not required to do that. I think there have got to be ways that the town can require its residents to have adequate fire protection systems that don't cost $100,000. And you know, if you're relatively close to the main line, then it's not that big of a deal. But our furthest lot is almost 2,500 feet away, and there are many, many lots in Boulder that are so far away from the main line that you will be essentially saying that no development, that no subdivision is possible for anybody ever. I really don't think that's what the residents of the town of Boulder want, and I really don't think that that's what the town council desires. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you, Ansem. Does anybody else?
Jennifer Geerlings has her hand up.
Okay.
Hi, thank you. Obviously, it's really late. This is quick, kind of in line. I'm just kind of the big picture here as I'm listening to this all very interesting here. And I just, it's fascinating to me that we could spend so much time on a few, this fire hydrant thing. And the big thing is safety, safety, safety. We've got to keep people in Boulder safe. Well, as most of the people in Boulder don't have a safe fire situation. We know that. And I don't know if anybody's taken an actual survey of exactly how many tomes that we have right now that fall and would actually meet the requirements that are mentioned here. But my guess is, like Anson said, not very many. And plenty. I mean, people that are actually pretty close. Anyway, obviously, what I'd like to see is, yeah, we can talk about the ordinances and how they need to fit this. But, you know, the town council, what is the bigger picture that you're trying to do for Boulder? Maybe it's really how does Boulder as a community better serve the entire community? Don't we want to save everybody, not just rich people or whatever who can afford a fire hydrant? What do we do to bring the whole town into better compliance and or a safer situation? And I don't hear that being discussed. I hear that just a few people are going to, you know, have to put in some expensive fire hydrants. The second thing that was brought up was, and I really appreciated Jimmy's comment about how, you know, these are volunteers and they shouldn't be volunteers. These are, you know, big decisions. They have a lot of responsibility. I agree. The problem is that this town council had a very difficult time getting an $18 an hour position funded for the administrator, the zoning administrator. So how exactly does Jimmy or the council force, you know, see that they are going to fund something on this professional level? Do we have any idea how much this person would cost that would be able to take on that kind of responsibility that you're talking about? Is this something that the town council or that Jimmy would like to propose? I mean, I'm all for paying all of you, actually, because you do an incredible amount of work for nothing and you're serving us. So yeah, we need people to get paid. How do you propose to do that? What is that amount? And how are you going to go about doing that? It's great to just talk about it, but what happens when you actually have to implement that? So anyway, I know you got tough decisions to make. I appreciate you taking the time and trying to work through it. I know it's difficult. So anyway, thank you very much.
Okay, anybody else?
I don't see any other hands. Don't know about your room.
Lena?
Should I
go
to a mic?
Yeah, it'd be easier if you did, hon. Okay. But just make sure you talk into it. Yeah. People come up to the mic and then they sit way back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, this is Elena. I'm on Planning Commission. And I just wanted to mention that we've been talking for the last few months about treating minor subdivisions differently than major subdivisions. So I wonder if the fire safety thing is something we could consider talking about with that, because basically we're trying to make the distinction between, I think we're all afraid in some ways of development and for good reason in town, but we're trying to make the distinction between people coming in, splitting up something into 20 lots and selling it all to people from out of town for high profit. And what Anson's doing for Nick and what's, you know, Jack and I do for Andy and what Dylan and I are trying to do, which is just make a simple subdivision so that we can afford to stay in town. And there are a lot of things in our subdivision ordinances that make it incredibly difficult to do that. And so, you know, you think about the fact that if Anson keeps his property as is, his house he's building is still just as far from the road, but because it's not a subdivision, it's fine to be there without fire safety. But then the newer house that's coming closer to the road makes it a problem. And that doesn't seem entirely rational to me. Thank you.
Hi, thank you for all the input. And I agree, it is an issue. And it is about safety. I mean, somebody mentioned to me the other day that they lived in the draw and their well didn't have a big enough pipe to it. And they just knew that if there was a fire, they'd lose their house. And that's definitely not what we want. But as a council, we do need to think this over. I believe there's a solution. So do your due diligence while we're waiting till next month. And if somebody can come up with a good idea or check with other towns to see how they're doing it. But I'm hoping that we can come up with a good answer to keep people safe in this town. And fire is an issue. So anyway, thanks for everybody's input. We are a town and a community, and that is what it's all about. And we have a voice, and it's important that we do have a voice. So it'd be nice if everybody knew it all, then there'd only be need of one of us, I guess. I heard that one time. I thought that was a good answer. Anyway, if that is it and nobody else has anything else, I make a motion that we adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Gladys Diaz said yes.
Steve, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. We are adjourned.